buildings to attract people, like you put out flypapers to attract flies. Now, this time, we don't have any flypaper. We won't have any big buildings. Amen. We are the body of Christ. For now, God is interested in one thing, in encouraging his body, people we're dealing with. We don't care how they're dressed, how they look. Formerly, you couldn't go into church unless you had on a coat. And it's this kind of thing. This is out of it. We're dealing with people. And we want the souls to be dressed, properly dressed. And so we turn our Bibles to John. We don't care how they're dressed, how they look. Formerly, you couldn't go into church unless you had on a coat. And it's this kind of thing. This is out of it. We're dealing with people. And we want the souls to be dressed, properly dressed. And so we turn our Bibles to John, in John's Gospel, chapter 3, and we look at the Nicodemus argument. Remember, the message tonight is eternal life. And verse 14 we begin with. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Amen. We see here that eternal life and everlasting life is the same thing. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he had not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now, we see something here, very, very important, that God is not going to send any man to hell because he sinned. The basic principle of sin and righteousness and judgment is not based upon the sin that man commits, but it's based upon the rejection that he rejects Jesus. You see that. If you don't see that, there, make a note of it, because I'm going to ask you to ask me the question afterwards. What I see in this passage is that God is not going to send you to heaven because you're a good person, but you're going to make it into heaven because you accepted Jesus, who is the only way out of hell. Amen. So there is no matter of one man saying he did so much work, and all the work you see men doing, they will get no reward for it unless it is done in the will of God. Let's get back on that point and make very sure that we are on it. Right. No man will get reward for the work he does. The big churches you see the fellows building down the road, all the great hassles and hiring and fighting and struggling and organizational this and that and the other, they are not going to get one cent from God for it, unless it was God's absolute direction for the people. This is the reason I'm calling the people of God out of wasting time into the realm of laboring only in the will of God. We have turned our back to the will of God in order to suit man, to do man's thing, to make man the head, spiritually speaking, instead of Jesus Christ. Man is not the covering of the body. Just as the natural man is the covering of the natural woman,
So the spiritual man, Jesus Christ, is the only covering and the only husband of the body of Christ. All other heads are not of God, and their covering is only partial and absolutely insufficient.
Yes. It would be worse than hell for a person to be full of sin and darkness and to face the light and the big beam of God's light strike your darkness. Adam and Eve, when they sinned, they hid themselves. Amen. Who told them to hide? They couldn't stand the glory of God walking through the garden coming towards them. Hallelujah. And God said, hell is his mercy. Separate them from me. Put them away so that he doesn't hurt them anymore. When every being that is separated from God is separated from his food. Do you know why? Anybody can give me a verse of scripture which tell you why, when a being, whether it be a devil or an angel or a man, be separated from God, that he is without food? Come, let me put it in your mouth. In him we live and move and have our being. All beings persist and live through Jesus Christ, through God. Amen. And this is the great dilemma of the devil. The devil seized humanity and thought that he could hold humanity through all ages. Why? Why, brethren? Because God could not kill the devil unless he killed humanity. Do you understand? If Jesus descend here tonight and man has sinned and Jesus judge the devil and kill him, immediately all the men who have the devil in them would be slain. Come under the same judgment. Satan knew this. Therefore Satan incorporated himself and became one with the human being. Because of this trouble, God had to work a way to get into man. And when God gets into you, God in you tells you to cast off the devil. Hallelujah. And when you cast the devil out, now is come salvation and power and glory and the kingdom of our God and his Christ, for I am the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. So God is giving us and has given us and bequeathed to us through the blood of Jesus Christ the power to cast the devil out of ourselves. Amen. And when we do cast this devil out, when we are free, we are going to turn around and free creation.
Yes, amen.
Don't you see why the end time doctrine and gospel is different from the old time thing which we used to preach? Because we didn't see what we are seeing now. Now things are coming to an end, and God must do a final work in you. Amen. And this final work, God is bringing us to a point wherein we will break the power of the devil. The more you get to hate the devil, the things of the devil, the more eternal life grows in you, the more you push off the devil, until the Bible said there was no more place for the devil and his angels. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to have some startling revelations tonight, but if you will just bear with me, amen, we will get right through. Now, let's look at these references to eternal life. Just in John chapter 5, verse 26. For as the Father hath life in himself, so hath he given to the Son to have life in himself, and hath given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son. This life means this eternal life, this immortal life. 8:2, John 8:2. And early in the morning, he came again to the temple. And all the people came unto him, and he sat down and taught them. And the scribe, 8:12. Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life. Hallelujah. Can you understand it? He that followeth me shall have the light of life. In other words, the light which comes from life. This not physical life, not natural life, but this supernatural, absolutely powerful life which comes from God is immortality. And he said, if you follow me, you will have immortality. This is what he was talking about. Let's go to 10:10. The thief cometh not, but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. Hallelujah. When you hear people talk about abundant life, if a man is preaching abundant life, and he doesn't preach the energy and the power which comes through the blood of Jesus Christ as abundant life, he's leading you down a sidetrack. There are many sidetracks. Somebody preaches that abundant life is having things good down here. Having things good by prayer. You pray to God and he gives you abundant, for many thousands of dollars, that's abundant life. No. Abundant life. Amen. Abundant life is something that comes, an energy that comes out of the blood of Jesus Christ. Can you understand? Now, let's just touch back upon the blood of Jesus Christ for one minute. Last night we did go on it, but I feel that somebody here wants an explanation. I read in a little book written by a certain religious organization that blood is just a sticky red substance made up of plasma, this, that, and the other. Let me tell you something. There's something that men don't find out about blood yet. That blood had life. They found out that the atom had a certain flash point. Life. Energy. Life flashes from it. They find out that one atom has different life or different power from the other atom. But they have not yet found out the life that God has put in blood. Just common, ordinary blood. You know why? Because God said, the life of you is in your blood. The life of my life is in my blood. The animal's life is in his blood. Therefore, whose life was in Jesus' blood? Jesus' life, who was the Father? Amen. So God's life, the abundance, I would love to really explain to you what I see in this situation with God. We do not know God. We do not know God. Because God is so high above us, in such a high frequency beyond our physical mind to comprehend. That we cannot really truly understand who God is until we are lifted up.
Amen.
Amen.
And I'm not talking about lifted up by my boots and everything gone up in the air. I mean lifted up in my soul.
Yeah.
I must get to a higher standard in my soul that I can see God even a little better. Good. Now, God, therefore, upon this higher realm, amen, had to break down himself. Had to break down himself to come down so that he could get into you. For this was the only way of salvation. So God broke down himself into a common gene. You think God is able to do that? God broke down himself into a common gene that would produce human life. And God made himself into a human being. That was his son. And he incorporated himself into the womb of a woman. And he developed in the womb of the woman, going through the natural process of the procreation of species. Amen. And God developed as a child in the womb of the woman. This is so marvelous and mysterious. And God was born of a woman. Amen. And so God was within that flesh man, Jesus. The man was flesh outside, like you and I, feelings, everything, sin, soul, nature, as we are. And yet in his inner nature, he was Almighty God. Hallelujah. But I ask you, brother, you got your blood from your father. Check the blood type and you'll prove it true. But where did Jesus get his blood? From his father. Hallelujah. This is the reason why the blood of Jesus Christ is so important. Now, the blood of Jesus Christ, therefore, contained a charge. I don't want to say electricity, but it's difficult to speak the language of God without any physical understanding. So the high frequency of God's, of Jesus' blood, was so powerful that it was going to revitalize the whole universe. Hallelujah. And because Jesus was here, the forces of darkness was being pushed back by his very presence here, because he was the walking emblem of God's energy and power come to earth for the first time. Hallelujah. Amen. Now, he patiently lived and walked around Galilee, around Israel. He patiently walked and talked, and he would not give one way to the devil, because he had a different law working in him, the law of life. Amen. Ooh, glory to God. He had immortality dwelling in him. Amen. Somebody said he became immortal. Oh, total lie. He was born immortal. Amen. When you are born again, are you born immortal? Or are you still mortal? Come on, tell me. Hallelujah. Everything that is born of God is immortal. Amen. When you are born again, you are born immortal. But what part of you? Spirit, soul, and body. Amen. Spirit, soul, and body. You've got an immortal soul. That's it. That's what happened. Your spirit was already immortal. It would have turned back to God and left you alone if you didn't make a covenant with him. And so you were born again. Your soul was born immortal. Amen. Now, immediately immortality began to walk in our midst, there was hope. Amen. The darkness fled away, and men and angels sang. Amen. Hosanna. Hosanna in the highest. Amen. Because immortality had come to dwell with us forever. There was nothing now to turn back or arrest the progress which God, yet the devil still fights. You know why Satan fights? He doesn't believe God. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The reason why you can laugh in Satan's face with all his power, because you believe God.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Outside of that, we have nothing. We better start believing the thing that we say we believe. Now, the blood, therefore, was a charge of energy, a charge of power that the world had never known. Amen. And this blood was dwelling in the vein of a man. And as he walked up and down through Israel, he was retaining and restraining God. He was holding him down. Watch the whole progress of Jesus' life. He was holding down. When he prayed in the garden, he said, "Oh God, not my will, but thy will be done." How come the man who lives in the perfect will of God had a different will at that moment? Amen? You know why? Because he had the will of the Christ to set creation free. Brother, it's the will that is in you tonight. And if God gives you the power, you rise up and slam the devil one blow and finish with it all tonight. Quiet God's business. It's what you do. Amen. This is the reason God couldn't trust us now. Until we rise. Amen. In our spirits and our souls. Above the realm of man. Then we look down and say, "Oh, yes, God, we can suffer a little more." Amen. To God's appointed time. Amen. And then we break the power of the enemy. Now, Jesus, therefore, in the Garden of Gethsemane, was severely tempted. The greatest temptation of all his life was in the Garden of Gethsemane. When the devil began to pressure and began to pressure him, it was a desperate stand of Satan to try to break him once and for all. You know what he was trying to do? To get him, Jesus, to really smite him. If he had smitten him, he wouldn't go to the cross. And Jesus, under the strain, wouldn't give way. Amen. He said, "Thy will be done, Father." And the enemy pressured him right down to the death door. And the Bible said, great beads of blood came running off like streams. And when the blood came off, Satan lost the battle. He had to retreat with the devil. And God said, angels came and ministered. The first blood that was shed, it was so destructive to the devil that he had to retreat. And angels came and ministered to him. But Jesus wanted more than that. He was going to drain out every drop of that blood in Mother Earth. And he was going to make, you see, the Bible says, the blood of Abel cry from the ground. Amen. Can you imagine what's happening now? So many innocent people being murdered. Amen. So many innocent people being killed. How much blood is crying against this generation? Amen. So, when the blood of Jesus Christ fell, the Holy Ghost received the power to do the job. Amen. And therefore, when the Holy Ghost comes to you, he comes with the blood of Jesus Christ. The moment you accept it, you are on that frequency. I don't know if you understand what I'm talking about. But there, in this room tonight, there are many other spirits besides the men who are here, the human beings. There are other beings in here. There are angels in here. Amen. There are devils in here. And they are all here because of the people who are here. And the result is that we cannot see them. They do not disturb us. You understand? They don't disturb us unless you get on their frequency. Unless you get on their frequency, they can't hurt you. What am I talking about? Let me explain. One day I asked God, I said, God, can the devil read my mind? I want to know if the devil can read my mind. God gave me an object lesson, came in contact with the devil, was dealing with God, praying, and the devil didn't know what I was planning, and so I found out that the devil couldn't read my mind. But I didn't know why. I asked him, why couldn't this devil read my mind? And yet the devil puts things into my mind. How could the devil come and talk to me and put things into my mind and cause me to do wrong things if he couldn't read my mind? And it was a blessing to hear the answer. He said, if you are thinking about carnal things, things of the devil, you are on the frequency where the devil can pick you up and know exactly what you're thinking.
Yes.
And he can control your thoughts.
Amen.
Because your thoughts are in the wrong vein. Hallelujah. He said, if you're thinking on the word of God, you are puzzling him, you are beating him. This is where the victory lies.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God in the heart. And so the blood of Jesus Christ adds power to our life. And this is the eternal life. Let's go on and read some more scripture. We read chapter 11 of John and 25. Brother John, chapter 11 and verse 25. Jesus Christ went to raise up Lazarus. Lazarus was dead, and Jesus deliberately waited for 4 days until Lazarus' body had begun to decompose. Rot. We knew it was rotten because they could smell it. It's stinking, and the people were holding on to their noses. Now, Jesus speaking to Mary, and we are going to listen to this argument. Verse 25, Jesus said unto her, it's not there. Let's read from verse 22. But I know, verse 21, Martha. Then said Martha unto Jesus, Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died. But I know that even now, whatsoever thou wilt ask of God, God will give it thee. Jesus said unto her, thy brother shall rise again. Martha said unto him, I am the resurrection. Rise again in the last day. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. Verse 24. Martha said unto him, I know that he shall rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Most people believe that the resurrection is at the last day. Most people believe that the resurrection is at the last day. And Martha shared this fallacy, and Jesus had to correct her. Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Bless God. Amen. What was he talking about? This one is too high for us, eh? Martha was saying, Jesus, we know that you are going to raise up all the dead at the last day. When the last day comes and the trumpet blows, that the earth will open and all the dead will rise up and you will take them into heaven. This is a common belief. Jesus was saying, no, Martha. He said, look at me, I stand in before you. I am your resurrection. Amen. Brother, if I brought a plate before you, and I said, look, brother, in this plate is your resurrection, you would say, give it to me that I may eat. I'm right. Amen. Jesus was standing before them, and he said, I am your resurrection. The next question that Martha should ask him, if she was spiritual, if her mind was on the same frequency with Jesus, is, how then must I partake of you? For he said, eat me, I'm meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He said, eat me and drink me up. Hallelujah. Oh, glory to God. How do I eat you, brother? I eat you at the communion table. Oh, I can announce that. No, brother, this has gone off his rocker, eh? I eat you at the communion table, and this is part of our communion. For I get the energy that is coming out of your soul, and it energizes me to bring forth that which is in my soul. Amen. And we feed one from another.
Hallelujah.
Glory to God. Said, feed upon the body of Christ. Said, this is my body. Take it. Eat. Therefore, if you go and sit down before a table with bread and wine, and you take the body and say, this is my body, take, eat, and you do it, and you don't recognize or see the body of Jesus Christ, you are committing a crime against God's body. What am I talking about? I'm saying, brethren, that if you're a Baptist, I mean, I'm not hiding now, I'm talking out now, if you're a Methodist, if you're a Presbyterian, if you are a Catholic, and you are taking communion with these people, and they are not taking communion, living with, giving life to, receiving life from the body of Christ, you are on the wrong road. You are working, acting opposite to what you are saying. And therefore, Paul said, for this cause many of you are weak and sick, because you are not recognizing or seeing the body of Christ.
Amen.
Don't you understand? You ask me a question, no, I'm kind of confused. Why did you name these religions? I named these religions because these religions take communion among themselves. Because these religions have brothers and sisters among themselves. Jesus Christ said, who is my brother? You answer me. Who is my brother? And who is my sister? Yeah. He that does the will of my Father which is heaven. And she who does the will of my Father which is in heaven is my mother in Jesus Christ. And I shall recognize none other in the Spirit. Hallelujah. This is what Jesus is saying. He says, I standing before you, I am your resurrection, and I am your life. Therefore, you must feed on me until you resurrect.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
You must feed on me until immortal life breaks forth in you like a torrent of a river that flows and cannot be stopped. Hallelujah. When your river starts flowing, the river from the other brother starts flowing, the river from the other sister starts flowing, and no power on earth or in hell shall be able to stop your river from flowing.
Right.
This is a picture that we get from Ezekiel 47. Let's go on. He said, whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. This is a promise. This is a promise. And I tell you something about this promise. When Jesus said, you shall never die, he meant you shall never die. He didn't mean that you should die and rise again. He meant that you should rise now and never die. This is the power you have. Not that we have exercised it. Not that we know how to exercise. But we are going on to know.
Amen.
Amen. We are progressing to the point where we shall never die.
Amen.
Amen. To clarify myself completely, let's turn our Bibles to what Brother Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Hallelujah. And verse 50 we started. Now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Amen. Let's analyze that scripture. Flesh and blood cannot inherit eternal life, neither can corruption inherit incorruption. It's so simple. It means there must be a change. It means there's going to come a change in you, in your mortal physical body, that the mortal body is going to respond to the immortal soul. Amen. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth. In earth. This is the highest part of earth. Flesh is the highest part of earth. In earth, as it is in heaven, in my spirit. Amen. My spirit is in the heavenlies. My flesh is in the earth. And I am praying every time I pray the Lord's Prayer, thy kingdom come, Lord God. When I look at the earth, flesh, carnal, weak thing walking up and down, I said, my God, come. Come quickly, Lord Jesus, in earth, in my flesh, that my flesh might respond to God's laws, like my spirit, that my soul will arise and become like the immortal sons of God.
Hallelujah.
Amen. God has no sons who died.
Amen.
God's sons live forever.
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And if before the trumpet sound within this realm, hallelujah, hear me, glory to God, if before the trumpet sounds within this realm, death claimed my body, I promise death by the power of the blood of Jesus Christ that I'm going to come one day and claim my body back.
Amen.
From the earth.
Amen.
By earth, let loose from my body. Give me back, atom to atom, bone to bone. It will come back together, and I shall inhabit this body. Hallelujah. As the man Job said, he said, in this flesh. He said, worms, do your work. Pull me away in pieces. Take me away. Dismember me. But I promise you, come in, that I am coming back to claim my body from those worms.
Amen.
In this flesh I shall see God for myself and not another. Glory to God in the highest. Meshukama and I. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. So this is the power of the thing you're dealing with. This is the power of the immortality which you have within you. Amen. We talked about man. This is what man inherited from Jesus. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Amen. Don't you understand? You may take the low road, and I may take the high road, but we're all going to be changed.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. He said, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last message, trump means trumpet sound, our message. Amen. at the last message, for the trumpet shall sound and the dead shall be raised incorruptible and we shall be changed. Glory to God on high. God's going to give us a message that's going to resurrect the dead.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Glory. This is what we're waiting for.
Amen.
This is what we're waiting for. The message of life to resurrect this mortal body.
Yes.
Amen. And yet, it is a resurrection in the soul first. You know, I said there was a resurrection in hell before there came one on earth. Jesus' body lay in the tomb out yonder. Cold slab of earth. And it was cold in there. But Jesus was down in hell. And the Spirit from on high, his own Spirit that had left him on the cross because of sin, had gone to the tabernacle of God with the blood and said, "Here is the blood of the Lamb."
Hallelujah.
And he made the offering before the Holy of Holies before God Almighty. And God the judge judged the case. And God judged him innocent. And God sent back the Spirit to go back. Take charge of your body. This is your resurrection. And the Spirit is sent with him to hell. Hallelujah. And when he went down into the dark regions of hell, the light of God shone in the dark places and hell fled. All the keepers of hell fled. And Jesus Christ preached to the spirits in prison. Amen. Jesus preached to the spirits in prison. And the spirits in prison, can you imagine, Brother Adam, who was tired and sorry for his sins? Sister Eve, amen, who looked to God for a man-child to break the yoke.
Hallelujah.
You want to tell me she's staying in hell and saw that man come and didn't shout hallelujah?
Hallelujah.
Tell you, Lord. Hallelujah reigned hell that day.
Lord.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And they rejoiced when Jesus came, for they waited for him. Brother David said, "Oh, my soul shall rest in hope." He said, "For thou wilt not suffer thy Holy One to see corruption." And he said, though he was in hell, he would have hope. And even in hell, hell couldn't blank the hope. Hallelujah, of those who waited for Jesus.
Praise.
Amen. Can you see a reason now why Jesus should go to hell?
Mm-hmm.
Can you see the reason why Jesus should buy his ticket for hell? By taking on your sins, since he didn't have any of his own, and bought his ticket and went down to hell as a sinner, suffered in the fires of hell and paid your and my price.
Oh, God.
Amen. And then after he had paid the price, God found it fit to send the resurrection life. Amen. The same Spirit that you and I have, the Christ Spirit, is your resurrection.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. And this Christ Spirit re-entered him, his body, his soul, and his soul flashed light and power and glory to hell. And he preached. And I saw Brother Noah. He was one of the especially happy ones. You know why?
Please stop your cassette and turn tape over for side two.
He preached for 120 years and he thought that his labor was in vain. But lo and behold, in hell, some of the people who were drowning in the flood and said, "Oh God, I wish I had heard Noah. I wish I had listened to Noah." And they drowned. The Bible said they rose up and followed Jesus out of hell.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Lord.
Isn't it wonderful, a wonderful God, that while they were drowning, they called to God, and God said, "Thou shalt be with me in paradise. You look out for me one day." See, the thief on the cross who spent all his life murdering people. Amen. And he looked around to help me, Jesus. Jesus said, "Today shalt thou be with me in hell," really, in paradise. And out of paradise came such a power and such a joy that some of the men went and picked up their bodies.
Amen. Amen.
Before time.
Amen.
They went and picked up their bodies and walked up and down the streets of Jerusalem.
Hallelujah.
And shout hallelujah, and people saw them.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Bless his holy name. Hallelujah. Look.
Glory.
Let me show you Bible. Amen. Trumpet is about to sound. The trumpet that is to quicken us with the last quickening. But
hallelujah.
How are you going to get the last quickening if you don't get the second to the last? Come on, let's get that set. Somebody is here sitting down, waiting for the trumpet, waiting for the last quickening. Listen, you can't get the last quickening if you didn't get the quickening before. If you didn't hear the first trumpet, you can't hear the second and the third and the fourth. You know why? You know how they used to blow the trumpet in the temple days, in the tabernacle days? One trumpet started blowing and the other one joined him and the other one joined him and the other one joined him until the second trumpet blasted forth.
Hallelujah.
And when Jesus came forth and the trumpet began to blow, it was salvation trumpet. And you and I didn't hear it until the other day when we were born. So then we hear the first, we hear the second, we hear the third, we hear the fourth, we hear the fifth, we hear the sixth. And when you hear the sixth, you're fit for the seventh. Well, I said to God once, I said, "God, why? You said in your word, whatsoever you desire, ask, and it shall be given to you." I said, "The Lord, why don't you give me my perfection now?" Said, "I asked, why don't you give? Don't you say, if I ask, I'll get it?" He said, "Well, if you got perfection now, you'd be so immature that you would do so much damage that your perfection would cancel out itself. Because you'd know what to do with it. You'd have to be mature. And we are undergoing a maturing process. And the tribulation is to mature Christians."
Right.
Amen. So those of us who are taking us out in a rapture before the tribulation, we are crazy.
Right.
Because you will lose everything. What we want is the tribulation.
Mm-hmm.
The fire to test the goal and to purify and to make the goal come forth.
Oh, yeah.
Amen. I'm not afraid of tribulation. Tribulation worketh patience.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. What we need is tribulation. We're having things too easy. Praise be to God. So, we see here, let's rush on. We go to, let's take the 14th chapter and the 6th verse. John.
I have to go very wrong in my body for my a limb to fall off. I've seen limbs being chopped.
Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? Jesus said unto him, "I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Now, it is very easy for you to say, Jesus said, "I am the way, truth, and the life." But if you really consider what he said, you must realize that he didn't say, "I will show you the way." But the way is walking in me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, our former Christianity has been all based upon the church rules and the church regulations. And somebody tell you, obey the Bible.
Amen. You can't obey the Bible except you've got Jesus in you and you walk in what is in you.
Right.
Now let me see something here. Most of us like to boast that we have Jesus. You ask for a testimony and thank God I have Jesus. Now the next question, are you walking in what you have? And if every action that you act from morning until this point, every thought that you think from morning until this hour is of Jesus, through Jesus, and in Jesus, then you are walking in Jesus. Come on, baby. And there's no other way. No other way. We are not going to make it. Some people are running from coast to coast. They are taking as many tapes as they can. They are listening to as many messages as they can. They are reading as much Bible as they can. And they are not trying to do what they've got inside of them. If you don't do that, you're just wasting your time. Wasting your time. You have got to live in what you have in you. And the thing that is in you that is contrary to the other thing that is in you, when it happens, you know you're wrong. And if you know you're wrong, don't just go around complaining that I'm wrong and I'm wrong and I'm wrong. You better start doing what you know to be right.
Amen.
Amen.
Right.
So, this is what we said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. In other words, if you have Jesus, you have life. And if you have life, you have the power to overcome death. And death is the thing that is wrong inside of you.
Amen.
That's causing you to do that which is not right. So praise be to God. Let's go on a little. And Galatians 2. Galatians 2 and 20. Now, verse 20, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Amen. How do you live? Do you live by your salary? Is it because of your salary why you live? Or is it because of Jesus? I say this not because I'm against your salary, but I'm against you living by your salary rather than living by Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
Some people are so dependent upon the natural things of life. Your plans are so set upon the natural that if anything goes wrong with the natural, it hurts your soul. It shouldn't be. Your plans should be set so upon Jesus Christ that if the salary didn't come one weekend or month end, you still live by the faith of the Son of God.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
That's right.
Amen. If it's a miracle you want, when you need it, you'll get it. Amen. That's all you have to do, is to believe in God and live by God. Amen. Every action you do, have you ever judged your actions by the Word of God? Amen. Now, let's go on. We are just going to go a little over the time tonight, and then we have because there's an important part of the message that I want to touch at least. Now, immortality means that you won't die in this world or in the next world. Amen. That if your body should fail and you should die, then you would still be alive as much and more than you are tonight, for you wouldn't have the burden of the body pulling you down. That means that there are some of our brothers alive somewhere else. When I say somewhere else, I don't mean not here tonight in this room, for they might be here. But I mean that they are in a heavenly realm, a realm of a higher frequency, where their minds operate on a higher frequency, where the mind is joined with the spirit as one entity, and the glory of God that is in the spirit beams right through the mind, and the man is able to see what he couldn't, what you can't see tonight. Amen. They have their problems like we do. Now that sounds funny to say a man is in heaven and have problems. But when that brother died, he did not reach perfection before he died. Therefore, he's in the third heaven realm, where beings are being perfected. But how can they be perfected if they cannot be tempted? How can they come to perfection if they have no body to be perfected in? This is one of the key reasons why God exalts man above the angel, because no angel have your temptation. No angel have to face the devil like you have to. Angel face the devil, he has comparative power to knock swords with him. Amen. You face the devil without any power. And you know where the power is. And you have to reach up, the devil hold you down on this foot. You have to be reaching up to catch the power of God. Amen. I give you an amusing episode in my life. One night, I was attacked by a devil. Devil was sent there to kill me. But before the attack came, God lifted me up into a realm where I could see through the wall. So I was looking through the stone wall and saw this devil coming. So I jumped off my bed to tackle him with the blood of Jesus in the name of the Lord. But by the time I jumped off, opened my mouth, he came through the wall so hard, he got me in my throat and slammed me down backwards on the bed. And he thought he was going to make a killing. He jumped on top of me and held me down on the bed. My first reaction was to struggle and to fight. But as I fell to the bed, Jesus came right down beside me. And he said, don't struggle. It's not a natural struggle, it's a spiritual struggle. Hallelujah. And as he said that, I knew the victory was mine. I mean, I just laughed in my soul, and the devil was sitting on top of me. And I could see the cross of Jesus Christ, and the blood begin to drip from his right hand. And I saw one drop of blood, and the thought that came into my lifted mind, for my mind must have been lifted above the natural, or else I'd be frightened and everything. But no fright, just a calm, giving my throat to the devil. And the first drop of blood, the thought that came to my mind was, that drop of blood could save the whole world. Powerful enough for every devil. Hallelujah. And another one dropped from the lift.
Lord.
And I said, that drop of blood is good enough for me. And the third one dropped in my face. And my whole body convulsed, and I shouted, Jesus! My soul was thrown off of me.
Hallelujah. Amen.
Amen. The devil was thrown off of me, and I gained the victory.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I gained the victory. Now, praise be to God, I gained that victory because
Jesus Christ lifted me up into a higher realm when the devil was about to attack. Amen. So then, the third heaven realm is a realm in the spirit where men are taught. Now, how can they be taught if they don't have bodies? Well, they have minds, their soul, emotions, desires, will, and they can be taught. Okay. But how can they overcome when they have no physical bodies to be tempted? For you can't overcome a thing without a temptation. Huh? You can't win a victory without a fight. So where do they get their fight? Praise God. Let's check Bible.
Turn with me. Turn to Hebrews chapter 11. And verses 39 and 40. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, receive not the promise, one special promise, that's immortality. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Disregard the word chapter 12. And continue reading. Because of this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which doth so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us.
What did you see there? That the brothers who are gone on before cannot be made perfect without us. Why? Because we are going to overcome the devil which they never did overcome. They fought a good fight, we understand. And by faith they struck lion's mouth. By faith they overcome many, many physical obstacles. By faith they gave the devil a good whipping. But they cannot be perfect without us. Why? Because we are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. I have a story to tell you. I don't know how to break it. But let's read a little more. And then we see if I can come to it. Amen. Praise God. Let's turn to Ephesians. And We read from chapter 2, let's read chapter 3, I should say, and from verse 9, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery which from the beginning of the world had been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. Who is going to teach who now? The church is going to teach the princes in heaven the wisdom of God. Now, can you understand? Let me go on a little further and you might understand. Turn around to Peter, 1 Peter. Now, the prophet did not know this wisdom of God, which we're talking about now, this end time truth. So therefore, in chapter 1, verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired. Now let me explain the word salvation for you, because it has a trifold meaning. Salvation means the salvation of your spirit. Salvation means the salvation of your soul. And salvation means the salvation of your body. So that this body is to be salvaged out of corruption into incorruption, into the glorious liberty of the sons of God. You get it? Your soul is to be salvaged out of the hellish state into which it had fallen,
mm-hmm.
into the heavenly glorious state into which it is going.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Your spirit is to be salvaged from being disbanded and turned back to God to become a part of your being. Bless His holy name. So, you are to be salvaged, spirit, soul, and body. Now we are partially salvaged. When you get filled with the Holy Ghost, you are salvaged in your spirit. When your soul is filled with the Christ and completely taken, which it is not yet done, you are salvaged in your soul.
Mm-hmm.
And when your soul is salvaged, it will speak the word of deliverance to your body.
Amen.
For it says the whole creation waiteth and groaneth for the adoption of the Son. Amen. So you can see that he speaks now. Let's read it with this understanding, verse 10 again, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently and prophesied of the grace that should come unto you. Searching what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow, unto whom it was revealed that not unto themselves, but unto us they did minister these things, which are now reported unto you by them that have preached the gospel unto you with the Holy Ghost sent down from heaven, which things the angels desire to look into. What angels didn't know? Angels are ignorant of our gospel story. Angels don't know the great revelations that we're having in the church. Angels have to come to our meetings to listen. This is what God is saying. Ye are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses. They are watching you and cheering you on. But we have missed the point here. The question is, how are these brothers going to gain perfection through you? I'm preaching to you through Revelation, right?
Amen.
And you must either accept the revelation or discard it. Amen?
Amen.
Jesus showed me. Brothers and sisters who have died in their imperfection, their souls enter the heaven realm where they are being taught perfection as they can take it. When they learn the lesson, they have to have it practically work in them. And I showed you last night, every inch of land upon which the sole of your feet tread shall be yours.
Mm-hmm.
No blessing is yours until you walk in it. Okay, let's take a simple thing. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. I say, Lord, I believe. Amen. Therefore, all right, receive it. Amen. When I receive it, then I begin to walk in it and I am saved.
Amen.
Amen. As simple as all. He said, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Receive ye the Holy Ghost. Say, amen. Praise God, I believe and I receive the Holy Ghost. But you've got to walk in the Holy Ghost to appropriate it.
Right.
To use him, you've got to walk in him and talk in him and let him walk and talk in you before you are a Holy Ghost child.
Amen.
And God said to the brother Joshua, he said, look, brother, lift up your eyes and look toward the east, toward the land of the Euphrates. You know what the Euphrates represents? Where the cradle of man was, where Adam came from, and where brother Abraham came from. He said, I will give you from the cradle unto the setting of the sun. In time. Come on. Do you hear me? I say, he's saying, I'm going to give you from the cradle of humanity right to the end time when the sun is going down. And time. This I will give you as your land if you will walk in it.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
And you take your Bible and read about the victories of Joshua. Amen. Read about Joshua turning back at Ai because of the Babylonish garment. Read about your church system, which is the Babylonish garment buried in some of our hearts. Prevent us from going on in the gospel of Jesus Christ and overcoming the Hittites and the Perizzites and the Jebusites and the Hivites and all the ites. Seven criminal sins which dwell within the human soul.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
God is saying that we must walk in the Word of God, and we read the Word. Watch. I was saved. I told you a story. Just saved in my room. Didn't know what the name of it was. And didn't know what happened to me. I know it's God. It must be God. You know. And so on. And I took my Bible and opened it like this. And I said, if ye ask anything in my name, I'll do it. I closed the Bible and said, my God, could this be right? Or could this be one of the mistakes in the Bible? I said, God, tell me again. He said, it is just as you see things. I said, okay, God, we're going to try it out right now. I don't want to read any more Bible until I prove that peace. You understand? I just got saved, just accepted Jesus, just felt the joy and the power of God surging through my heart and life. I said, man, I've got to try this before I go one inch further with this Jesus. Rushed down the street. First door I reached, said, now, is there anybody sick here? No. Nobody. Knock at the next door, anybody sick? They said no. But they said, a woman down the road at such and such place is very sick. I said, thank you, brother. And I ran off to the house and I knock at the door. Man opened the door and I was inside. I said, I come to pray for the sick. He said, come, all right. He showed me the woman and I went, lay hands on her. Pray for her, Jesus. Heal her. Take back. Amen. I have to see it work. Amen. Better believe it. I have to see it work, or else that God is not true.
Mm-hmm.
And the woman got up. I could hardly believe my eyes. I said, I wonder if I'm just deceiving myself. Actually, probably she wasn't so sick at all. You know, she got up. And brother, it got worse and worse and worse. Until one day I touched the wall without a tongue and he got a tongue. I tell you how bad it got. I got the feeling that power was casting down people. That I walk into this room and if I really have the power of God, people just drop on the floor. That's the way I believe it in my heart. And it happened every time. I couldn't understand. I touch a man, boom, black, gone. You know, I got up in the meeting and said, praise the Lord. Everybody talked. I talked in my own heart. That's what I wanted. That's what had to happen. Because that's what I wanted. I found out afterwards that they dropped and they wallowed and they cried and screamed. And sometimes people see me coming and they turned up and run. Because I wanted that. That's what I got results in the spirit, but it couldn't forcibly change man. Amen. If you believe that when you pray and you cast out a demon, the man is going to cough and gargle and spit, he will cough, gargle, and spit, because you tell the demon to do that.
That's right.
You command him from your own being, and the demon has to do what you tell him to do. Jesus Christ said to the demon, hold your peace. Amen. He didn't gargle or cough or do anything. He just kept quiet.
Amen.
Because Jesus said, keep quiet. Amen.
Amen.
So you can see the whole principle behind what God is doing for us. Amen. Let's go back to this. The angels have to learn. So what we are doing, we are teaching angels of God, we are teaching devil angels. Amen. Yes. That angel or that fallen angel that attacked me that night, he got a lesson that I bet he never had before. Amen. He was coming to have a victory. He must have killed a lot of people. He jumped on top of me like he was sure of doing the job. My God. The blood of Jesus Christ dropped in my face and threw him off.
Amen.
Amen. And the victory was complete. The devil went back and told hell a different story. Hell got a lesson. And this is what we are teaching them. Amen. The devil is still saying, man, with that thing over there, he can't win. Do you know that the devil believes he's going to win? What a foolish devil.
That's right.
The devil believes he's going to win, and he believes he's going to win because he doesn't believe God. But we know he has already lost.
Amen.
Because we believe God.
Amen. Amen.
Bless God Almighty. So, these men, they are learning. I want to get back on that very much. Because you're going to have some questions to ask on that. I'm so sorry, I'm taking up too much time. And the men are in heaven learning. And when they learn, they have to practice what they learn. They have no bodies, therefore they have to use you. And if you had a sin that they had, let's say now, this brother died, and he didn't overcome the devil in certain things. Let's say he liked to drink. And he become a drunkard and he died. But he loved God. He was saved. And when he was dying, he cried to Jesus. And Jesus forgave him of all his sins and led him into heaven. Like the thief on the cross. Amen. Now, this brother has got to find another brother who is in the same position as he was. Have the same feeling, the same battle, and who overcomes. So he's going to learn from this brother how to overcome the devil.
Amen.
There's a little more to it. He's going to help him overcome the devil. Turn your Bibles with me before anybody shoots me down. You turn your Bible over to Revelation chapter 19. And verse 8 and 9. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he said unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, these are the true saints of God. Verse 10. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, see thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant, and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. Who was he? Who was he? The angel. I am one of your brothers, he says. Well, the angel called himself your brother? No. And he said, I am one of thy fellow servants of the brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. You hear me? Angels have the testimony of Jesus. No, you have the testimony of Jesus. He was a man. You said this is an isolated case. Let's find another isolated case. And take chapter 21. Chapter 21.
And it's verse, 9 again? What then? Chapter 22, sorry. Get me for a minute. And then said he unto me, read 8 and 9. And I, John, saw these things, and heard them. And when I had heard and seen it, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel, which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not, for I am thy fellow servant, and of the brethren the prophets, and of them which keep the sayings of this book, worship God. So, God, okay, God is using the brethren as a cloud of witnesses to us. They're all witnesses of the things we do, and they are gaining their victories through us. This is why Paul said, run the race with patience, because we have a crowd of people watching us. If you undergo a temptation and you overcome the temptation, some of the brothers are benefited by your overcoming, because they were overcome by the same temptation.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. Now, we go on one step further. If God used these spirits, then the devil used the spirits of the sinners. Okay, let me just explain that to you. God only made angels and men. If you can show me in your Bible or in any book where God made a demon, then I tell you that book is a lie. For God said he made all things good. He made all things good. You know what a demon is? A disembodied spirit. You understand what disembodied means? Disembodied means that he had a body one time and he lost it, and he's seeking another body to dwell in. Amen. Now, God made angels and men. Then the angels fell and they became fallen angels. When the men fell, they became fallen men. And when they changed from men, they become demons, devils, little devils. That's what demons mean. So the demonic host is growing, even as the angelic host is growing. Amen. Men are the only ones that propagate. Angels don't multiply. Therefore, men, as they propagate, they either propagate for God or for the devil. A sinful man who hates God and doesn't want God is becoming a devil. Amen. You who love God and want God, you are becoming a bright star of God, a son of God. So the devil man is becoming a son of the devil, the God man is becoming a son of God.
Amen.
Amen. And so, the demonic spirits that haunt us, these spirits are the spirits of men that are eternally doomed. And you ask me why? Why eternally doomed? They're eternally doomed because they don't want heaven if God even gave them for nothing. They don't want heaven, and God couldn't get them in heaven. They don't want it. They want hell. God put them in heaven. They would sin and fall again. So this is the story of man. And this is the story of man's immortality, an eternal dwelling place. Already you have received a deposit on your immortality. And this deposit is growing. Already those who reject Jesus permanently, a man can enter into hell from he is alive in this body. And as he gives his body to the devil, and devils occupy him, so he becomes a devil when he dies. Amen. So, where is hell? And I'll give you a puzzle. The devil was cast down, chained in chains of darkness, reserved unto eternal damnation. Amen. The devil is in hell, the fallen angels are in hell, the demon spirits are in hell, and yet they are right here tormenting us.
Amen.
weary as hell. Where Jesus is, it is heaven the earth. And where Jesus is absent, it is hell. Because the spirits of darkness dwell in hell. Now, when God said he shall make a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, doesn't that sound funny to you, like in heaven this day? Come on. I say I'm going to build a new house, and in this house there will be righteousness. The conclusion you would arrive at, therefore, the whole house have sin in it. Amen? God is saying that this soul of yours is in heaven. And at present the soul has both good and evil in it, has both God and the devil in it. And the only place where God and the devil meet is in the human realm.
Right.
Did you know that?
Yeah.
Now when God cuts off the devil and we cast him out, he's starvation. He's no food, because he's feeding from the human realm. I mean, I'm saying many things tonight, and maybe I'm saying too much, but I might as well continue till I'm finished, because God gave the devil humanity as his bread. God said in the third chapter of Genesis, he said, "And dust shalt thou eat." So the devil feed on you. Amen. When you feel a bad feeling and you give vent to your bad feeling, you feed a ton of devil.
Right.
You give all energy to devils and they eat, because they have to live and move, and they have no other way of approaching God to get food besides from the human realm. When the human being casts them out, then they will be in hell. That's the lake of fire where it's hunger and torment. No food, no energy. You understand now why hell will be eternal? Because the devils will be put off, and they can't feed on humanity anymore, and you will stop humanity from being food for the devil. And they won't have any more place to dwell in. So they will be in the bottomless pit. Eternal life goes along with eternal damnation. I'm going to tell you a story here, especially for those brothers and sisters who believe that God is too much of a good God to cast men and devils into hell. I had a brother that believed this strict teaching and this doctrine, and I said, "I'll take it to God myself." So I went to the Lord and said, "God, how could you, a good God, make spirit and make men and send them into hell?" The first correction he made, he said, "I never made a devil and I never made a sinner." And it was a revelation to me. He said, "He made all things good, and I believe him." Amen.